Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather here on this third Sunday in the season of Epiphany to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good to see you all out on this cold and blustery Sunday morning. Good thing. Do give God praise that it wasn't too difficult to get in, given the snow and the ice, but good to be here in the house of the Lord. Just to remind everyone to please take the time, make sure you read your bulletin. Also go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Our second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 31. "I mean, brethren, the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the form of this world is passing away." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, beginning at verse 14 and reading through verse 20. It's found on page 867 of your pew Bible, so let us listen to God's word for us. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." It's the word of the Lord. Those of you who are on social media, at least on Facebook, know that there's a feature where it often reposts to your timeline certain pictures that were posted of you in the past, usually on the anniversary date that the picture was taken. So you have an opportunity to see what you were doing on this particular date so many years ago. A couple of days ago, it posted a picture of me in the chapel during a MLK Day service, I believe it was. And it said that this happened 8 years ago on this date. And I looked at the picture and I thought to myself, there's no way that that was 8 years ago. Seems like it was just a few years ago at most, but hardly 8 years ago. But that's what it said, 8 years ago. And so I checked and sure enough, it was 8 years, 8 years ago. And so it reminds me, and of course it should remind all of us, that time flies. Sometimes you might think you have all the time in the world, time to put things off, time to procrastinate, time to weigh all of your options and defer decisions to the future. But the Bible reminds us that we don't have a whole lot of time. We don't have all the time in the world. Some things are too important. Some things are too urgent. Some things demand a decision now, because the time is now. That's what the Bible often reminds us. In the Bible, of course, there are two types of time. We've noted before, there's Chronos time, and Chronos time is everyday time. It's the time that governs most of our lives. Chronos time, of course, is measured in weeks and days and years and months. Chronos time was the kind of time that Facebook was reminding me of. It said, "This was you 8 years ago, before you had all that gray hair." But it's Chronos time, the time that governs most of our lives. But the Bible also speaks of Kairos time. And Kairos time is an opportune time. It's an urgent time. It is a significant time. It is a time for decision. Kairos moments are the types of moments that change everything. It's the kind of time that you realize that you finally had enough, that things must change, that things can't go on as they have in the past. Kairos time is the kind of time that is presented to the Ninevites by the prophet Jonah in our Old Testament reading this morning. Many of us know the story of Jonah. God calls him to go to the wicked and violent city of Nineveh, the capital city of the mighty Assyrian Empire. And Jonah doesn't want to go because he hates the Assyrians. The Assyrians are the enemies of the people of Israel. And so Jonah, he hates them, and he initially tries to run from God, only to end up in the belly of the whale. But he gets a second chance, and he goes to Nineveh, and he presents to them a Kairos moment. 40 days more, he says, and Nineveh will be destroyed. You can tell his heart isn't in it, because that's not much of a sermon, a few words, but it works. The whole city of Nineveh repents. Even the king of Nineveh repents, because they know what time it is. They know that the time is now. They knew that they didn't have a whole lot of time, and so they change, they turn things around. And they heeded the call of the Lord in their time. The time is now. That's the message that the Lord Jesus declares at the beginning of our gospel lesson this morning in Mark. After the Lord's baptism, after his sojourn in the wilderness, he goes to Galilee and he proclaims the good news. And he begins by letting everyone know what time it is. The time, he says, is fulfilled. The time is now. This is a time for decision. This is a urgent time. This is a significant time. This is an important time. The time is right now. Jesus says that, of course, because Jesus is bringing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world. Jesus says that kingdom has already broken into the world. That kingdom is already at hand. It has already come near. It's not just something that comes in the future. It's not just some place that you're going to go after you die, but the kingdom of God is already at hand. Because Jesus himself is the embodiment of the kingdom. God's kingdom of mercy, God's kingdom of forgiveness, God's kingdom of love, God's kingdom of justice. That kingdom, Jesus says, is already broken into the world. And part of what Jesus is doing is he's calling disciples and he's forming a kingdom community around himself. And so he says, the time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand right now. You know, part of what Jesus was doing throughout his ministry is he was manifesting the realm of God, the reign of God. That's what Jesus was doing when he was restoring people, when he was restoring people back to health, when he was forgiving people who were in need of forgiveness, when he was reconciling people to God and to himself and to one another. He was demonstrating the kingdom. He was saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is the kingdom that is already broken in to the world. It's broken in with me. It is here with you right now. It's a possibility for you right now. Many people in Jesus' day were waiting for the kingdom of God. They were looking for the kingdom. They were anticipating the kingdom. But Jesus says, I've got good news for you. I've got the good news. I've got the evangelion for you. I've got the news of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is already broken in, and it's now. Right now. And that's the message that Jesus wants us to hear today as well. If it's true that God's kingdom is already broken into our world, then the most important thing that we can do is to move towards Jesus, follow Jesus as he shows us the way to the kingdom. And that's what Jesus means when he says, repent and believe. Repentance, of course, is not just about feeling bad for what we've done. It's not just about going around with a long face to show everyone how sorry we are. But repentance is about change. It's about turning our lives around. It's about moving in a whole new direction. It's about believing that a whole new way of living is possible because God's kingdom has already broken into our world. And so Jesus says, it's right now. The time is now. Often we hear the word repent and we tend to zero in on certain behaviors or lifestyles that are obviously destructive. You all know the kinds of behaviors I'm talking about. But sometimes I think we restrict what repentance means the way Jesus is using it. When Jesus says repent, he's not just talking about the obvious sinners, the people that we think of as sinners. He's not just talking about the person suffering from substance abuse. He's not talking about all the kinds of sins that might readily come to mind. But he's asking us to examine our deepest commitments. He's asking us to think about the things that we've given our allegiance to because we believe that they can bring us security and stability and happiness. And he's asking us to change. He's asking us to orient ourselves away from the things that we believe can save us and to orient ourselves towards the kingdom of God. A few days ago, we were celebrating the birthday of Martin Luther King. And I was watching a film about that, the Montgomery campaign, and it's always interesting. Some of the people there in Montgomery were saying, the time is now. The time is now for full equality. The time is now to treat all citizens as human beings. The time is now to tear down the barriers of racism. The time is now. And then you had other people, good, decent people, honorable people, Christian people even. Many of them who were saying, we don't disagree with your objectives. We agree with your goals. We agree with equality, but we just don't think this is the right time. We don't believe this is the time that we ought to begin going down that road. We need to wait a little bit. Montgomery's not ready for that right now. And then you had people there in Montgomery who didn't think any time was the right time. They wanted to hold on to their privileges. They wanted to hold on to their fears. And that's true today. It's easy to hold on to our fears. It's easy to fear change. But Jesus says, repent and believe. We have to turn around. We have to change. Unless we change, we'll not be able to move towards the kingdom of God. And the time for change is now. That's what he says. The time is now. You don't have to be much of a prophet to know today that we need to change. Many people have pointed out the critical nature of the times which we live. Scientists have told us that unless we change the way we relate to our environment, that we're going to continue to stumble into disaster. They say the world is getting hotter and hotter, and there's going to be more climate disturbances, more floods and more hurricanes and more fires, more people leaving and fleeing where they live now in order to go places where they think they might have a better chance of making a decent life. Unless we repent, unless we change, we are facing disaster. So this is a critical moment. We are told we're living in a Kairos moment, a moment where we are asked to change, an opportune moment. We know that unless we human beings repent from our violence, unless we repent from our violent ways, unless we change in the ways that we relate to each other, we are courting disaster. I heard on the news the other day that there's an increased chance that the current conflict right now in the Middle East will expand and will draw in other powers, including the United States, a dangerous proposition, particularly when you consider the prospect of nuclear wars. You would think we would have learned by now. You would think that we would know. You would think that we would know that we should change. We would think we would know of the dangers. This is a Kairos moment. Unless we change, we're courting disaster. That's all the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus says that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has already broken into the world. The kingdom of God is already a present possibility. All we have to do is believe, repent and believe, and follow Jesus. Follow the way of mercy and forgiveness. Follow the way of self-giving love. One of the things that's always intrigued me about this text is how readily the Lord's disciples responded to his call. You know, they're a lot like all of us. There's a lot of things they don't get right and a lot of things they don't understand. But one of the things they do seem to understand is that they know what time it is. We're told that when Jesus calls them, that they immediately follow him, immediately. Immediately they leave their jobs, immediately they leave their boats, immediately they put aside their nets, they leave their routines, they leave the old world behind, and they go follow Jesus. I wonder today if we have that same sense of urgency. I wonder today if we still recognize the kairos nature and opportunity, the times in which we are living. I said before, we live in interesting times. I suspect that the next several months are going to be interesting in our nation alone. We don't know what's going to happen. We have an interesting political campaign coming. The particular situation in our country, the social climate is terrible. I admit to you that I'm just a little bit concerned. I fear that maybe we don't have a whole lot of time to get it right. We don't have a whole lot of time to change people's hearts. We don't have a whole lot of time to point people in the right direction before some kind of great tragedy befalls us. We don't have all the time in the world, but this is a kairos moment. This is an opportune moment. This is a moment for change. This is a moment that we can make a difference. This is the moment that you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can proclaim the good news. And the good news is not just about saving individual souls. The good news is not just trying to get people to come to church on a Sunday morning. The good news is that the kingdom of God has already broken into our world. It is already at hand. That's the good news, I think, that we've sometimes lost sight of. That's the good news that people want to see. That's the good news that people need to see. People need to see it in the midst of the darkness of our world. They need to see it in this world of violence and conflict and strife. They need to see it in this world where injustice runs so rampant. They need to see that the kingdom of God is at hand. Because it's present. And you and me. I may have told you before, several years ago, I remember when, still in high school, I was asked to go join an evangelist who was making his way to India. And he was really giving me the hard sell. You need to go to India. The Lord is calling you to India. Suffice it to say, I didn't go to India. I didn't hear the Lord calling me to go to India. But the Lord was calling, just like the Lord is calling all of us. The Lord is calling us to orient ourselves towards God's kingdom. He's calling us to orient ourselves towards the realm of God. God's kingdom of love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And Jesus wants us to understand that the time is now. We got to move now. We can't afford to play church any longer. We can't afford to make other things a priority in our lives. We have to move now. The time is now. People need to know now. People need to see now. The time is now. Some of you are here this morning and you are eager to take this gospel seriously. Some of you are here and you know deep in your hearts that you need to follow the Lord. Some of you know you need to forgive someone who has hurt you, someone who has caused you a great deal of pain. You know you need to forgive that person. Hard to forgive, but you know you need to do it. The time is now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't put it off. The kingdom of God is right now. Some of you know you need to be reconciled with someone. You need to be reconciled with your family, a family member. You know that you need to start the process of healing, but you know it's going to be hard and you're waiting for a better moment, a better time to do it, but the time is now. It's right now. The kingdom of God is right now. The possibility is available right now. Some of you know that you have to move out of the regions of hatred. You have to move out of the regions of indifference. You have to move towards loving your neighbor. But you've put off any real work to do it because maybe you think you have all the time in the world. So you procrastinate a little bit. You twiddle a little bit, but you don't have all the time of the world. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand right now. And that's what Jesus is calling us towards. That's what Jesus is saying to all of us. Follow me. Get out of your boats. Get out of your routines. Get out of your old lives. Follow me as I lead you into the kingdom. God's kingdom of mercy and love, compassion, forgiveness, and justice. The time is now. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given us this time to labor in your vineyards, this time to make known your love and your life to the world. Lord, help us to capture a sense of the urgency of the moment. Let us not take the good news for granted. Help us to be ever mindful of what time it is. The time is now. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.